We've been spending some time going through different svarim in the world of halacha, the Torah, the Beis Yosef, the Bath, the Drish, the Prisha, the Levush, and then we spoke last time about Tzimtzum Keima Shulchan Aruch. But if I can have like a 1 week aside, only because I think it's time interesting and not bad switching things up. Rav Yosef Engel was one of the great giants of like late 19th century Europe. He was a fascinating, fascinating person. Lived like, until 1919. A fascinating person who wrote a lot of wonderful svarim. Some of his most famous, he had a lot of famous svarim. He has one sefer called Gevuros Shmonim, which is one kasha with 80 different answers. I think they quote that the Dovev Meisharim, Shmina Rav, said, don't think he happened to have 80 answers, and that's why he called it Gevuros Shmonim. He called it Gvirshmon and then 80 answers. Had he called it something with Meya, he would have had 100 answers. Like, he was that good in his capacity to just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. He has Svarim called Gilyoni Hashas, which are shorter comments. Not Gilyon Hashas, Gilyoni Hashas. Shorter comments that you can find on Al Seder Hadaf. But some of his most famous Svarim, or one of his most famous Svarim, we would say, is Asvan D'Oraisa, like Akhtov as well, but Asvan D'Oraisa. Asvan D'Oraisa, I think he apologizes in the Hakdama that it's not that long of a sefer. You can take your time with it. And it is really just, we would say, very long essays on particular topics. He had a very, very creative mind, and many of his discussions are focusing on very yesodistic topics. So he speaks about, as an example, in Asma D'Oraisa, one klal has to do with the nature of the Shomeres Yavam after a husband dies, and the woman is then sort of, they have no children, there's a brother, figuring out, Yibimar Chalitza, Shomeres Yavam, a long discussion with the status of Shomeres Yavam, a bunch of different possibilities, tons and tons of different mikoros. He speaks about, we referenced this, I think, last Thursday night, the nature of the Isser of Tevel. Is Tevel Aster because Truma hasn't yet been taken out of it? There's Truma hidden in it? Or is it like a different Chalos? There's a lot of fascinating topics there, some of them in Kachim, some of them in Moed, some of them in Hashem Nezikin, really from all over. What makes him unique is that he is an unbelievable Baki, like an unbelievable Baki in terms of the Svarim that he quotes. He, and I think the Baba Trevi used to point this out, has a lot of overlap with the Rukachover. I think some academics may even know this also. They quote an amazing amount of Mikoros. They quote Mikoros that come from all over Chazal and Rishonim. They also quote Bali Machshava and the time Sifrei Kabbalah. You have a decent amount of Maral that Rav Yosef Engel is quoting. They're all part of this like Lumdus, which he calls like Agadi. He's open about the fact that it's a little bit out of the box. But it's just like an amazing array of Mikoros that he quotes on different topics. Some of it on topics that other people speak about, and some of it he almost like, I don't want to say he made up, but some of it, it's unbelievable the questions that he's able to raise. I'll give you an example of one that he's able to raise, which I find just to be like breathtaking. If you would have something which would prevent a chalos from occurring, I'll explain in a second. If you had something which would prevent a chalos from occurring, if that same event would happen once the chalos already applied, would it be mafkia the chalos? So the following kind of a question. Can you prove, as an example, as some Rishonim do, the fact that if a woman becomes a Nida, the couple is allowed to stay married, does that prove that you can marry someone who is a Nida? Meaning the fact that her presence of Nida is not mafkia, the marriage, does that show that you could also start a chalos like that? And he finds double-digit gemaras where that question seems to come up in different contexts, whether like being mafkia a chalos is the same standards for what would prevent a chalos from initially being established. Again, a lot of mikoros and lists that you have sometimes there with tons of different gemaras. So in the Sefer Lekach Tov, as an example, which is a very similar structure to Asvan D'Oraisa, so he has the question. We know that Dine D'Rabbanan can be a siag, asu siag the Torah. D'Rabbanan can establish an iser so that you don't violate a different iser. We're not going to let you have chicken and milk so that you don't do something else. So he has the question, is there a siag D'Oraisa? Does a Torah ever aser something? And does a Torah ever aser something? Not because it's inherently problematic, but lest you end up violating a different iser. And he has a list from all over Torah of examples of siag d'oraisas. It's an amazing, amazing kachin asfarim. What's a little bit tricky about learning it, and therefore they have redone elements of the sefer, what's a little bit tricky about learning it is that it's long essays and long paragraphs, and sometimes you like, he's a real genius. And when a real genius is right sometimes, they like go on these fascinating asides, and then they have to like pull back. So in the middle of his thing, suddenly there's like two or three great paragraphs about the nature of Tumah by Nevelas Of Tahor and the Beis Habliya and Tumas Maga, like in the middle, and you have to sort of just like follow. He's pretty good, I think, at telling, or he's excellent at everything, but he often will tell you like, okay, now we're back to our like, you know, main show, or in terms of what I would have been earlier, like, you know, here this goes. But it's foreign that you'll see get quoted a decent amount, Asvan Doraisa, because a lot of you sodis the questions. What's the nature of an Isser Gavra and an Isser Chefza? When is something an Isser Gavra? When is something an Isser Chefza? What are the nafkaminas of that by Dina Dirabanan, by Doraisas? A lot of just like very, very powerful ideas. And an absolute Eloi, like a real, real kind of a genius. I don't think if you had, you know, Bar Ilan and Otzer HaChachma, that one would be able to come anywhere near the Makoros that he has, as far as just his mastery of Shas and the ability to analyze things sort of as they come up in different ways, the kinds of questions that emerge. It's the kind of thing which, like, I don't know if you would read a Keseder per se, but when one sees one being quoted, it's certainly Kedai. To check it out. Certainly could die to check it out. But he has a lot of Sfarim that I think weren't actually ever published. They started putting out recently, I don't know how far they got. I'm aware of two volumes, but maybe there are three volumes, maybe there's more, of Teferis Yosef al HaTorah, where they start taking of Yosef Engel, and this is actual pieces, and just putting it al Seder Chumash, because it's very long pieces, so they'll take out the four paragraphs that are relevant to this part of Parshas Yisro, and they'll have that there. I think there were two people that tried doing this. The newer one seems to be at least a more thorough kind of a job, as far as Yosef Engel on Chumash, which sometimes can be very, very helpful. But again, he's very creative. He blends the line between Machshava and that. And if you're ever learning a sugya, he really identifies like main gemaras and main rishonim to look at and anything that he happens to speak about. And it's always kedai. It's always kedai. We'll quote Thursday morning in the Parsha stuff. We'll quote a little bit of Yosef Engel, but there's a lot of Torah which is there. The Sefer Beis HaOtzer. There's a lot of great Sfarim that are good to be aware of. Maybe we'll speak about a different time, some more specific. But at least Asvan Doraisa and part of Lekach Tov, you know, are these sort of like lists and longer essays that are available that are certainly kedai to be aware of.